This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا رب العالمين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد Respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It's an honor and a privilege for myself, for me to be with you here in New York, New Jersey. I get confused for one of the two. Long Island. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I thank the organizers of today's event for organizing, arranging this event. Baitul Hamd, who invited me, and Masjid Hamza here. I was here exactly last year, a week before this weekend. Exactly 1 week ago, I gave a lecture in this masjid, alhamdulillah. I think it was in April, the weekend after this weekend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me to come back here exactly 1 year. I don't know if the place liked me or I liked the place. Probably it's a bit of both. I liked Manhattan. No, not Manhattan. I liked Long Island. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for coming here as well. All the brothers and sisters, it's a weekday, for taking out your precious time. And inshallah, may Allah grant us the ability to talk about something that is beneficial for myself, for all of you, and something that we change our lives with. We take a positive message with us, inshallah ta'ala. The topic... We had a poster as well, and maybe you already know, maybe some of you might not know. The title of today's event, or the topic, is about having concern for humanity. We have probably heard of talks on this topic, caring for humanity, and we specifically put humanity, not just Muslims, the whole of humanity. Caring for humanity, having concern for humanity, helping and assisting the humanity, doing something for fellow human beings, but I want to talk about this topic in a slightly different way. Maybe you might have heard of some of the things I discussed, but I want to take a slightly different approach. I want to base it on a particular hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then talk about some really relevant points that really relate to us in our life. And sometimes when we think about concern for humanity, we only look at certain aspects and certain other aspects are not considered, or they are overlooked, or they are forgotten sometimes. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, a very famous hadith. You may probably have heard of this hadith. It's an authenticated hadith because it's in Sahih Muslim. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, it's a long hadith, but these are 3-4 sentences of the hadith. Man nafasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurabi dunya نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. That's the first part. Whoever removes alleviates or removes a difficulty or a hardship, من نفس عن مؤمن, from a believer. Now there are some hadiths that have the word or the term مؤمن or Muslim in them. However, this is not restricted to just believer. And I'm not just saying this just because we want to make anyone happy, that we only care for Muslims and not for the whole of humanity. If it's in our deen, then of course we say it. And if it's not, then we don't need to change our deen to make anyone happy. But if you look at this hadith, it's mu'min. But other hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like in the Musnad of Ahmad, he said, humanity, ahibba linnasi. Love for humanity, for the people, for mankind. مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. And there's numerous texts that talk about general human beings. why some of these hadiths specifically only talk about believers, where he mentioned mu'min or Muslim, is because he was addressing a community that was only a community of believers. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was living in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and he had all the believing men and women, sahaba and sahabiyat, and they were amongst themselves, and he's addressing, and like he's talking to them, okay, the brothers here, if one of you, like if I'm just sitting with three, four of you, and I'm saying, okay, you three, four, whoever helps your brother, you know. So this is why in that context he mentioned a believer. But there are certain other hadith that talk about general mankind, the whole of humanity. So this hadith says, مَن نَفَّسَ عَن مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever removes a hardship, a difficulty, from a believer, from a fellow human being, a hardship of this dunya, of this world, then what's the result of this? نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a hardship from the hardships of akhirah, of the next life. There's another hadith which is similar to this. In that hadith he said, man farraja. Instead of man nafasa, he said, man farraja an muslimin. There he used the word Muslim. Man farraja an muslimin kurbatan min ad-dunya. If anyone removed, same meaning, hardship, difficulty, from a fellow human being, from a believer. And there's similar types of hadith as well. And the second part of this hadith of Sahih Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that man yassara ala mu'sir. Whoever makes it easy, you heard in the surah Alam Nashrah, suratul Inshirah, inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. This hadith says, man yassara ala mu'sir. Yassar from yusr. Whoever makes easy on someone who has usr, someone who has hardship, difficulty, yassar Allahu lahu fi dunya wal akhirah. Allah will make things easy for that person in this world and the next world. And there's no numerous other hadiths. What are these hadiths trying to say? These hadiths are trying to say that, oh believers, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking to me, to you, to everybody, men, women, all the believers, that look, as a human being, as a Muslim, we have a responsibility. Not just to be good Muslims ourselves. Islam is not just about practicing deen in the masjid. Islam is not just about fasting or praying or just performing hajj. That's why in another hadith, again, a similar type of hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. A Muslim is a believer of a Muslim. La yadlimuhu. He doesn't oppress him. Wa la yusallimuhu. He doesn't abandon him. So the responsibility of the believer is not just praying, fasting, and hajj, etc. And it's not just that we shouldn't harm. I mean, that's definite. That's given. A believer who harms someone else, that's like, you know, this hadith that talk about iman even being removed. So a believer doesn't harm. That's, of course, that's given. If you're a believer, you don't harm anybody. We don't harm anybody verbally, physically, with our actions, with our tongue, with our mouth, whether it's our neighbors or anybody in any way, shape or form. Harming someone verbally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, these are all haram acts in Islam. Mentally, emotionally as well. And this comes especially first at family. I talked about family last year. I remember the talk was all about family relationships. That even at home, emotional, psychological harm and abuse is sometimes worse than physical and verbal abuse. So that's given. A Muslim never does that. But this hadith is saying that لا يظلمه, a believer doesn't oppress and make ظلم, but the responsibility of the believer doesn't stop there. Rather, ولا يسلمه, he doesn't abandon or she doesn't abandon another believer. So it's not just I'm not harming you, but I'm not just helping you. Like if you're traveling on the middle of long highway here, or the roads you have in Long Island, and if you go and intentionally go and like punch somebody or hit somebody, that's dhulm. This hadith is saying that's, of course, you're not going to do that. But if you see somebody that someone's broken down, and there's been cases, you might see some YouTube videos that there's somebody who's got an accident, somebody just had an accident, and like there's 20 cars just passing by, and nobody even turns it, like raises an eyelid. Oh, okay, dying, who cares? Like we're too busy making, you know, whatever money or whatever. People are too busy. There's videos like that in some places where people just like, it's like that person is an animal. I'm a human being. We think that person is like a species, someone. We don't even think about stopping. This is what this hadith is saying. You don't abandon somebody. Our responsibility is not just to not harm them, but it's also not to abandon them. It's a very important responsibility. And this hadith of Muslim, if we remove any difficulty, hardship. We all want hardships and difficulty of Yawmul Qiyamah being removed from us. If we want that, we have to remove hardship and difficulty of this dunya. And the second part of the hadith, man yassara ala mu'sir. Anyone who makes things easy. What does that mean? There's so many examples of this. Making something easy, like for example, somebody owes you a debt. This is all of this. When we talk about concern for humanity, we might have concern for humanity, and rightly so, for Syrians, for Palestinians, for whatever, all the different parts of the world. And everybody should have solidarity and concern, humanitarian aid. Alhamdulillah, very, very important part of our deen. But sometimes we don't have the same type of humanitarian kind of consideration for our own spouses or husbands or wives or children. Like someone's wife is asking for money. It's okay. No, you don't need money. You don't give your wife money, but you want to give the whole world money. Charity begins where? At home. That's why in one hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, the food that you put in your wife's mouth, in your spouse's mouth, the money you spend, that's the greatest form of charity. The greatest form of charity begins at home. This is from the Quran and Sunnah. So this concern should be for everybody, for our neighbors, for brothers and sisters. This man yassara ala mu'sir means that if someone, for example, you remove a hardship, somebody owes you money, you're doing business with somebody, that person owes you a debt, and that person is not able to pay you the debt, then by law, legally, what I mean legally, Islamically, you have an absolute right. There won't be nothing wrong if you don't do this. It's completely permissible. You demand your right. This is my right. You owe me money. You give it to me right now. Nothing wrong. There's nothing makruh or impermissible or haram or bad or blameworthy in it at all. But the higher moral ground, if it's possible, maybe it's not always possible, but sometimes looking at someone's real situation, if someone is in difficulty, someone's in hardship, and you think, you know what, for the sake of Allah, imagine if I'm in Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah says, like, by law, you haven't prayed this salah, you're going in hellfire. And if Allah starts to take us as well, takes us by law, that's why the hadith says, ask Allah for fadl and not adl. Don't ask Allah for adl, ask for fadl. If Allah deals with us with justice, then we are all doomed. Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the companions asked him, he said, "Wa anta ya Rasulullah?" He said, "Yes, illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi rahmatin min." So we ask Allah for fadl. This is the dua we should always make. Oh Allah, we want your grace. We don't want you to deal with us justly. Because man husiba, man nuqisha uziba. The one, if Allah comes to taking real accounts, like every single gory detail of what we did and we didn't do, then most of us, may Allah protect us, you know, will be punished. So we ask Allah for mercy and rahmah. Allahumma amilna bi rahmatik. Oh Allah, deal with us with your rahmah and with your mercy. So this, if someone comes, someone you find in real difficulty and hardship, and you think for the sake of Allah, out of genuine love and concern for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find in your heart that this person is really struggling, and you make it easy on the mu'asir. Yassara ala mu'asir, yassara Allahu lahu fi dunya wal akhirah. Allah will make things easy in this world and the next world. And there are clear, so many examples. I've met people who've actually mentioned real life examples where they saw the miracles in their life, that for the sake of Allah, they did something like this, and suddenly Allah blessed them with so much barakah in some other way. I might lose out some right now, or something's happening, but for the sake of Allah, like, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes people might take advantage as well with this. So, you know, of course, they might just keep on telling you this hadith, man yassara ala mu'sir, man yassara ala mu'sir. So of course, within reason, and this man yassara ala mu'sir, there's a similar verse in the Quran like this. In the Quran, Allah says, wa in kana, and this is specifically talking about debts. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. When someone owes you a debt, someone took a loan from you, someone owes you a debt, Allah says, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ, from the word عُسْرَةٍ. When, if that person is genuinely in a hardship, then فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. مَيْسَرَةٍ is from the word يُسْر. Then give him a bit of respite until he comes, a time comes that it's easy for him to pay, and Allah will forgive your sins. There's hadiths where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are in Bukhari and elsewhere, there's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there was a person before you, in the ummah before you, that he will be brought on Yawmul Qiyamah, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels in front of the people, and Allah knows best. Of course, He knows about His hal, but it's just to show the people that look at His deeds. What has He got? They said, La salata, wa la sawma, wa la zakata, wa la hajja. There's none, no good deeds. He has no good deeds. But the only thing, one thing, Allah said, there's no good deeds. He has no good deeds in His basket, in his calculation, in His book of deeds. No good deeds. But there's only one thing we've seen. He was a businessman. He had so many people that he employed. He had told all his workers and employed that, you know what, when you go to do business and when you buy and when you sell, just be very, very gentle with people. Speak gently. If someone's in real hardship, difficulty, just make it easy for them. Be soft, be lenient. Don't be aggressive. Allah said, because of this, I've forgiven him. Now this doesn't mean that we don't have to pray salah, etc. And we just do this and be a nice businessman and we get forgiven. There's so many narrations like this. There's another hadith where and someone gave animal something and Allah forgave that person. There's numerous hadiths like that. We need to understand something about this. The scholars, of course, of the Quran and Sunnah, Mufassirun, Muhaddithun, they explain all of this. And they say that these examples are not the norm. These are like outside the rule. One is the law, one is outside the law. The normal law of Allah is you pray salah, you zakat, hajj, mu'amalat, mu'ashara, akhlaq, character. These are the laws of Islam. And this, we will have to act upon it. But sometimes someone can just forgive you, which is beyond the law. But the law, that doesn't become the law. It doesn't mean that, okay, we just take that one hadith and I'll just do this and I don't have to do any fajr anymore or maghrib anymore. So anyway, this is the meaning of man yassara ala mu'sir. Whoever makes it easy on the people, Allah will make it easy for this person in dunya and in akhirah. And then the hadith carries on to say, wallahu fi awni al-abd ma kana al-abdu fi awni akhi. Allah remains in the help and assistance of His slave as long as the slave remains in the help and assistance of his fellow brother or sister. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ. When someone remains in fulfilling the need of his brother, Allah fulfills his needs. And this is what, ask the people, some people are amazing, mashallah, amazing. I'm sure you have some in your community. They have this amazing passion of khidmah. Khidmah is one of the greatest maqams. Seriously, some of the ulama have said, being a khadim, you must have heard of the word khadim, khidmah. It's an Arabic term, yes? It's an Arabic word. It's also used in Urdu and some other subcontinent languages. Khidmah is from khadima yakhdumu, be a khadim. Being a khadim is the highest maqam. Like, it's even greater than being a sheikh or a scholar or an alim. Many scholars have said this. I'm not saying this. This is a position that, you know what some scholars said? This is a position that nobody will, there'll be no politics in that position. Every other position, there's politics. This is a position nobody will wait, like, will fight with you that, give me that position. No, nobody's going to do that. This is a position that you can remain always in it. Nobody's going to fire you from that position. This is the greatest position. Position of khidmah, the greatest maqam, the greatest status, and you reap rewards. Do khidmah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see this in every community. I travel a lot, and subhanAllah, some of those communities, you see those people who are doing khidmah, you just see absolute amazingness about them. These are the true awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people, their lives are based on khidmah. That's it. Serving, helping, assisting. Anyway, you may have some people in your community, you know who you can count on. Any problem, you know which brother to call, or which sister to call, or who's going to be there. And these are amazing people. Allah really gives them good to them in this life as well. The reason why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is actually a sign of iman. You know, some of the scholars said, based on the hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You can't be a complete believer until you don't like for your fellow Muslim brother or sister what you like for yourself. So if you don't like that, then this shows that the iman is not complete. Having concern in the heart for humanity, for other people. This is a sign of iman. So the reason for this is why Allah blesses these kind of people so much. And what's the reason? What's so good about this? Removing hardship, difficulty, Allah rewards, Allah gives so much goodness and barakah in this life, in the next life, there's so much reward. Why is there so much reward behind this? The reward is, everyone knows anyway that it's good. This is the difference. You see, some of the non-Muslims do this as well, right? This is something that everyone does. It's not restricted to any faith or community or religion, charity work. Everybody likes charity work. Everyone, Anyone does charity. Everyone likes charity. Every country likes charity. Everyone, every religion is talking about charity. And remember, when I'm talking about humanitarian concern, it's not just money. Charity is not just sadaqah. You could, whoever removes hardship verbally with your hand, someone needs, you see somebody who's taking like some luggage, or someone is taking some household furniture or somewhere, and you give them a hand, that's also a form of charity. Charity is not just financially. That's just one form of charity. Helping, assisting with sometimes with words. Sometimes somebody is in distress. Someone's in distress and they just need some words of comfort. Subhanallah, you don't know how much reward you've gained. There is a sister and she's really, really down. She's so stressed. She's depressed. She's in a really bad state. And there's another sister. We have sisters listening here as well. And she just, the only reason is for the sake of Allah, that I just want to give 10, 15 minutes to my sister, make her feel good, give her good, sound advice. But remember, good, sound advice, not bad advice. Don't say, you know what, your husband, yeah, just leave him. Just leave, pack your bags and come to my house. That's not good, sound advice. There's hadith, whoever turns their spouse against their spouse, there's warnings or punishment. Some people, they don't know how to give good advice. You have to give sound advice. Good, sound advice. You don't just suddenly tell people to turn them against their family members. But genuinely, for the sake of Allah, you help verbally. This is removing a hardship verbally. It could be verbally, it could be physically, it could be in different forms. It could be financially, but it's not restricted to finance. Otherwise, only the people with money get reward. You know, the Sahaba actually asked this. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Messenger of Allah, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. All the rich people have taken all the... Duthur means rich people. Ujur, plural of ajr, reward. ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. The people of money, they've taken away all the rewards. Ya Rasulullah. Said, why? He said, يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّ وَيَصُومُونَ كَمَا نَصُومُ. They pray, we pray. They fast, we fast. Like they do the same, we do the same. But they have an advantage. يَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفَضْلِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. But they have extra money they can give in charity in the path of Allah. We don't have the money. So fasting, we're equal. Prayer, we're equal. Every other good deed, we're equal. But we don't have money and they can donate, give in charity. So that's not fair, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, nothing to worry about. Charity is not restricted to just giving financial charity. It's good, it's important, it's a very important part of charity, but it's not restricted to that. He said to them then, إِنَّ بِكُلِّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلِّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلِّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٍ وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ. Saying Subhanallah, Sadaqah. Saying Alhamdulillah, act of charity. Saying La ilaha illallah, act of charity. Amrun bil ma'roof, enjoining the good. You saw some brother or some sister, you said some two words of good, positive message. But remember, in condition is with a good intention, with ikhlas, with sincerity, for the sake of Allah, not thinking yourself to be bigger and better than that person. If I'm giving you a lecture here and I'm thinking I'm better than you, then this lecture is of no reward, rather it's sinful for me. So, with a good intention, thinking that I'm just a khadim, and this person is better than me, but just I've just seen this one thing that's bad in this person, he's better than me in 99 other things, so I just want to just give him a positive message and maybe he might do dua for me, and because of his dua, I'll get accepted and I'll be forgiven. With that intention, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. There are rules about enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. The problem is that a lot of people don't learn the rules of da'wah. A lot of people don't learn the rules of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And that's why we have chaos and animosity and lots of problems and fitan that occur in our communities. We have to learn the fiqh of da'wah. We should have a course. In England, a few years ago, I delivered a whole day course at the fiqh of da'wah. I was talking to the brothers here. I don't see here in America generally, because even like in Chicago and other places that I've been, but I don't see this custom or this culture of having courses, not maybe that much. You might have it, yes, probably. But in England, UK, we have so many courses, like detailed courses. Just last month, I delivered a course on the raising righteous children. We started 9:30 a.m., we finished at 7 p.m. with lunch break and tea break. And it was registration. We had 150 brothers and sisters who came for the whole day. Many were husbands and wives. And also there's a payment for this as well, right? I didn't organize it, but the organization who organized it, there's a registration. Every course, there's like each person has to pay £20. That's like $30 or $40 or whatever, I don't know. A full day course. There's so many across the country, different courses. The fiqh of zakat, the fiqh of marriage. Just the marriage course, I've taught it like good 16, 17 times in the last 10 years. We have lots of different topics and courses. Inheritance laws, zakat laws, different topics. So we had a course, fiqh of da'wah. Da'wah, because Islam is about learning. We have to learn our religion. We need to take time out. Da'wah is not just like, I just feel like doing da'wah and I'm just doing da'wah. There's so many etiquettes and laws and rules of situations of da'wah. Da'wah to non-Muslims, what are the laws, rules there? When should you do da'wah? When you shouldn't do da'wah? When someone's in the middle of a sin, should you call that person and say, stop drinking alcohol right now? You know, there are rules, there's etiquettes based on many, many verses of the Quran and Sunnah and the seerah of the Sahaba and the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, I was saying something else. I was saying that, yes, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they asked these people, companions, radiallahu anhum, that the people with money, they've taken all the rewards because they have extra money. What did he say? Enjoining the good is sadaqah, tasbih is sadaqah, tahleel is sadaqah, takbir is sadaqah, وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةً Enjoying the good is sadaqah. وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةً Forbidding the evil is an act of charity. And not just that. What did he say after that? You may have heard of this hadith. وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٌ Even intimate sexual relations with your spouse is sadaqah. Even in your bedroom, there's charity. In other words, this is the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. I'm not making this up. Because Islam doesn't differentiate between masjid and the bedroom. This is the point. Islam says you're a Muslim whilst you're at home, you're a Muslim in the first row here, or you're a Muslim if you're a taxi driver or you're in the workplace. Everywhere you're a Muslim. So even intimate relations, if you do it with the right intention, if your intention is, you know, actually, I wrote about this once, that why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call this sadaqah? We don't have too many children here, so I could maybe mention this, but I'll be careful in the words I use. Why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention this as sadaqah? Because what is charity? Charity is about, what is it about? It's about giving, right? Charity is about giving. So why did he mention this sadaqah? You know, there's a very, really salient point here. The whole of marital relationship, and I don't want to make this into a marriage talk, but the whole of marital relationship is and should be all about giving. It should all be about the other person. If we want to save ourselves from marriage problems, the husband has to go into a marriage and think it's all about you, yourself, you, and not me, myself, I. And the wife should think it's all about you, yourself, you, and not me, myself, I. My whole marital relationship as a wife, she should think, is all to help, assist, serve, and be there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my husband. And I will enter Jannah through this type of khidmah, this type of serving. This is also type caring for humanity, concern for humanity. Your spouse is the first person. And the husband should think the same as well. The whole reason I am in this marriage is not for myself. It's not for my needs. It's not for my haqq and my huquq and my rights. It's all for her, to the wife. To the point that not just the whole marriage, even the most intimate part of marriage, which is intimacy, is about that. You can understand what I'm trying to say. That when you're in intimate relationship, I know loads of cases, I deal with many, many marriage problems, where this becomes a problem. I know many, many cases where marriages have ended because of problems in the bedroom department. Many, many problems, many people. So even in this matter, when the husband and wife are involved in the intimacy, both of them need to think that this is not for my gratification. I'm not here just to fulfill my needs. That will happen. But I am here to fulfill the needs of my spouse. Even at this moment. That's why that's called sadaqah. Just imagine. Everything is sadaqah. So I was saying that initially, that concern for humanity is not just restricted to financially helping someone. It's verbally, it's physically. And then I mentioned the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that Everything is a sadaqah. Even verbally, caring for humanity, concern for humanity, it's not restricted to caring financially. It's verbally, physically, or financially in any way, shape, or form. And I mentioned those two hadiths about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about man yassara ala mu'sir, and that example I gave, the person who was forgiven. Now, I was saying that, what's the reason? Why is there so much reward, so much forgiveness for someone who helps and someone who cares for others and someone who has concern in his or her heart for another person, whoever alleviates the distress, hardship for other people in any way, shape or form, physically, verbally, you know, emotionally, anywhere you're there for somebody. Reason being is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has love for His creation. Because we are all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all makhluq. What does makhluq mean? The creation. Allah is al-khaliq. One of the names of Allah is al-khaliq. If I or you, me or you, if we made something, wouldn't we have love for them? You know, you someone, you make even something small. I've made this, like this, so, you know, dear to my heart. I've made this item. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of us and all of humanity and even animals. And therefore, Allah has love and concern for His creation. And in order to love Allah, in order for us to have love of Allah, we have love for His creation. Not just love for His creation, but have mercy on His creation, have consideration for His creation, and have this concern in the heart for His creation. When someone loves somebody, actually having concern for the humanity is a sign that that person has love for Allah. Because you love everything and anything associated with the person you're loving. If you have a husband, good example, husband, wife. You know, if you're in love with your wife, then you will love everything. You'll love everything, even her car you'll have love for. And you'll, you know, anything, you know, even the mother-in-law you'll have love for. And the sister-in-law and everybody, the family you love. Well, you should do anyway, but not have no problems. But you'll have love if you have genuine love. You love anything associated to the beloved. Have you heard of Majnun and Layla? Everybody has. Yeah, everyone knows the example. Majnun was Majnun. That wasn't his name. Majnun, he was a crazy man in love. His name was Imra'atul Qais. And his beloved was Layla. Amurru ala diyari diyari Layla. These are his lines of poetry. Amurru ala diyari diyari Layla. Uqabbilu dhal jidari wa dhal jidara. Wa ma hubbu diyari shaghafna qalbi. Walakin hubbu man sakana diyara. He used to, this is Layla's house. He used to do tawaf, like, and go round and round Layla's house, come to Long Island. Layla is in Long Island. Which area of Long Island? What's this area called? A stream valley? Stream, sorry? Valley stream. You know, somewhere, some part of, some apartment near, or some house near, valley stream. He's all he sees, is just walking in the streets. He doesn't know what's going on. And he's kissing this stone and kissing that stone. He says, Amurru ala diyari diyari Layla. I go round and round the house of Layla. I kiss this stone and I kiss that stone. وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِي It's not the love of the walls that's overtaken my heart. I don't love the brick or the wall. Yes? Like, not brick. You guys have woods here. Yeah, we in England, we have bricks. Your houses are all built of woods, mashallah ta'ala. We don't have no wooden houses in England. I don't know if you've been in England. There's no such a concept of wooden houses. But they look beautiful. They're really good. I'm planning to, you know, take one, import some, you know, start a business, importing wooden houses. Take them from here. So, وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِي It's not that I have love for the walls. وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ But I have love for who? The one who lives inside the walls of the house. He was so in love with Layla that even her house and the bricks and the walls and anything connected or associated with her, he was in love with. If we have true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that anything and everything connected to Allah, the humanity at large is the creation of Allah. Whoever has love for the makhluq of Allah is a sign that he has love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever doesn't love the creation of Allah means that he is not truthful in his claim or her claim of having love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sign that someone has love, because look, we can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another topic. Allah is ghayr mahsus. He is not, he's beyond our five senses. You can't touch, you know, the five senses, taste, touch, smell, hear, and see. Allah is غير محسوس. There are a lot of things which are غير محسوس, but we believe in them. This is an aqidah topic, it's a very detailed topic, but we believe in them. Like, has anybody seen what color hunger looks like? You don't know. But you see the effects. I gave a talk on that as well the other day on atheism, but We don't see certain things, but we know because the effects are so, so clear. Do you deny that hunger exists just because you don't know that it looks green with purple spots? I've seen hunger. It's green with purple spots. I'm only joking. But we believe in it because the effects are so great. The effects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything, every single one of you here, me, we are all signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is غير محسوس. So how do we love Allah? Loving the creation of Allah. And there's another hadith. This is not absolutely sahih to the extreme level of authentication, but it's sound enough. Al-khalqu 'iyalullah. فَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ. The creation is the family of Allah, belongs to Allah. Allah created it, the whole of creation. Therefore, the most beloved to Allah is the one who is good to his creation. If you are good to my son, I'll have love for you. You look after my son, my daughter, and you are good to my family, then I will have love for you. If you are, this is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason why Allah loves a slave who is good to his other slaves. Allah loves the person who has concern in his heart and has rahmah and mercy. This can only come, we all want to be good to fellow human beings and have concern for humanity. But this can only happen if we inculcate, we put in our hearts, we inculcate in our hearts this rahmah, you know, this deep concern, like our hearts should melt. We need to create that. Sometimes it's not possible. For some people it's more difficult, and for some people it's easier relatively. Look, a lot of things, many of these things, there's a test for everybody in life. Okay, this is a side topic. Look, anger is haram. Yes, undue anger. There are certain times it might be permissible, but in Islam we know being angry, you shouldn't be angry. But somebody is born angry, extremely angry. That doesn't mean he has an excuse, like I punch someone. It's haram, brother. Well, Allah created me with anger. No. Well, it's not fair. He's created like a cold as a cucumber. Well, we say that, cold as a cucumber. I don't know if you have that phrase. This guy, why is it? It's not fair. Allah created me with so much anger, but then the rules are for me and him are the same. Yes, the rules are the same. You have a greater mujahada, a greater test. But that's your test in this aspect. But in another aspect, he might have a greater test. Everybody is tested in different aspects of life. He might have a different problem, like extreme desire sexually, and for him to stay away from zina related sins is very difficult, and you might not have that problem. Somebody, this is why, you know, some people who come with this excuse that I'm involved in illicit sexual acts like homosexuality, and just to be clear, we don't hate anybody. Islam doesn't agree with homophobia, etc., and we don't hate, of course, but it's clear Christianity, Islam, and Judaism clearly says these things are not permissible. Now somebody, a lot of young people, I've talked to so many of them, they come and say, look, but I was born like that. Well, but brother, that's your test then if you were born like that. It's just like somebody says, I was born with a desire to kill someone. Does that mean you can kill somebody? No. You were born with anger. You were born with bad character. Different people have different tests. Imam al-Ghazali in Ihya Ulum al-Din, he says people are, there's two ways to get good akhlaq and character. Some people are born with good character. Some people are born. They just have to do 5%. Maybe, in order to be really nice people or a good person. Other people aren't born with bad character. They are born. So now they have to strive and struggle. They can't have an excuse that, you know what, he's born with good character and I'm born with bad character. That's your test. That's your mujahada. Everybody has a different area of the Islamic rulings that their struggle is in. So this is something as well. Some people are born with, you know, some people are naturally have very harsh heart, like me. You know, no concern in the heart, just very, very harsh. But then we have to create this. Somebody from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one companion, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have a very, very harsh heart, very hard heart. Like, I don't have gentleness in me. He said, Imsah ru'us al yateem. Keep on always putting your hand on the head of who? Yateem, orphan children. Allah will create gentleness in your heart. This is one way. Find orphans. Go and see orphans. So we have to create this. The only way we can have concern and concern for humanity is we create in ourselves, in our hearts, rahmah, mercy. Rahmah, mercy. This mercy in our heart for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for creation. The love for the makhluq of Allah, rahmah for the makhluk of Allah. This is why there's so many texts of the Quran and Sunnah that talk about having rahmah. Because this is like an introduction. In order to want to care for humanity and do khidmah, the first step is create this rahmah in the heart, this mercy in the heart. Once we create the mercy, then automatically it will lead us to what? Having concern and doing khidmah. The hadith of Sunan Abi Dawood. Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahmanu tabaraka wa ta'ala. Irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fil sama. This is what we call hadithul musalsal bil awaliyya. I'm sure you probably heard of that. The hadithul musalsal bil awaliyya, probably students and scholars maybe know about this. But we have this tradition since the time of the Sahaba and Tabi'un radiallahu anhum of muhaddithun, of scholars, that when they study hadith, there's something called musalsal, musalsalat. In Arabic, modern day Arabic, musalsalat are called series, you know, drama series. But in the real word, musalsal, something continued. So what the muhaddithin used to do is that they used to relate every hadith with something continuous. So for example, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something to the Sahaba and he was doing something. He put his hand on his head. So the companion, when he related the hadith to his student, he said the same hadith and he put his hand on the head. And then the next person to his student, he said the same hadith, put his hand on the head. The next one, all the way till today, we have people who have a chain. Hadithul musalsal bi wad'il yadi ala ras. The musalsal hadith with putting the hand on the head. We have hadithul musalsal bi wad'il yad ala lihya. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said a hadith that none of you can be a complete believer until you don't believe on qadr. And then he said, "Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhir wal qadri khayri wa sharri." And he was doing this. So now the Sahabi, when he said to his student, "Come on, I'm teaching you hadith. I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says." And then he said this, "Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi." Everybody till today, one of my sheikhs gave us this. He did this. He said, "Amantu billahi," and he gave the permission. It's a continuation of the chain. There are numerous musalsalat. Some chains are like every single person in the chain is by the name Muhammad. Hadithul musalsal bil Muhammadin. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahabi, Muhammad, Tabi'i, Muhammad, everybody. Hadithul musalsal bil Kufiyin. They all lived in Kufa. Hadithul musalsal bil Makkiyin, bil Madaniyin, bil Hijaziyin, bil Shamiyin. Or bi qawlihi, inni uhibbuk. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, "Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk." Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Faqul dubura kulli salawat. Say after every salah, "Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik." When he said to his student, Allah, he said, "I love you. Inni uhibbuk. Wallahi inni uhibbuk." Say this. Everyone is telling the student, "Wallahi inni uhibbuk." Faqul dubura kulli salawat. There's about over 212 types of musalsalat. There's books written on this topic. There's a whole book published in Arabic. Al-manahilu salisa fil ahadith al-musalsala. All of them. You have people today have 30 of them, 40 of them, 50 of them. One of my sheikhs, he has many. He gave many to us as well. There's one way the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited Surah As-Saff, the whole of Surah As-Saff, and then he said the hadith. So one of these musalsalat is called hadithul musalsal bil awwaliyya, which means that the teacher has taught this hadith as the first hadith ever. Awwaliyya, the first hadith. So before teaching Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, or any hadith book, the teacher will say, "The first hadith I'm teaching is this hadith." And this is famous. This is throughout the world, right? This is not just one part of the world. This is not just a subcontinent thing or, you know, North African thing. This is, all these things are unanimous. Whenever I normally talk, I don't talk about something which is restricted to a particular part of the world. General things. You go in Arab worlds, study, you know, you go in Syria, Jordan, Yemen, Egypt, North Africa, Tunisia, Morocco, subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all of these. You ask any student, any sheikh, what is hadith al-musalsal bil awliya? This is a common known thing. Which is this? What is that hadith? I've received this from numerous, because this hadith musalsal from at least 6-7 different shuyukh from different parts of the world. What is this hadith? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is like the first hadith that is taught to the student. Oh student, do you want to study hadith? This is the first hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that teach this hadith first. So just to clarify, he didn't say this. But it just happened that one of the Sahabi companion taught his student this hadith first. So then his student thought, my teacher, Sheikh Sahabi, when he taught me, this is the first hadith that he taught me, so why should I not teach my student this as the first hadith? And the next one said, okay, he heard it from his Sheikh as the first hadith and from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. So why shall I not do that? And it continued all the way until today. And that's why when the shuyukh teach today, they have a continuous chain going back to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. What is the hadith? Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhumur Rahmanu tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yarhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fil sama. Ar-Rahimun, those who have mercy, those who show compassion. Those who show compassion, يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. The all-merciful Rahman will have compassion on them. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Have mercy and compassion on the people of the earth. The one in the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have compassion and mercy on you. This is like the first hadith. And that's why the whole Quran teaches compassion and mercy. Bismillahir Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Al-Muntaqim? No. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah has attributes taking punishment, the avenger, the punisher, Shadeed al-Iqab. The Quran says, Shadeed al-Iqab. But Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, not Shadeed al-Iqab. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The hadith says, Wasi'at. Ghala, I can't remember the Arabic, but my compassion, my mercy has overcome my ghadab. Sabaqat ghadabi. Allah's main attribute by default is compassion. He is compassionate, merciful every day. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Because that is his main compassionate, being compassionate and merciful is his main attribute. So we need to bring that into our hearts. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He also said in another hadith, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَاتٌ. Indeed, I am a rahmah, mercy given to you as a gift. He's saying, I am a mercy given to you as a gift. You know, when someone gives a gift, you have the giver of the gift and you have the recipient of the gift and you have an item of a gift. He's saying, I am a gift gifted to you. Allah is the giver of the gift. We are the recipients of the gift. And who is the gift? The rahmah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is full of rahmah and mercy. So this is something that we really, really need to bring in our hearts. We can only care and have genuine concern for humanity if we bring this, you know, this concern, this rahmah, this compassion. Like if you see somebody struggling, it's difficult. There are, of course, exceptions. But it's difficult for me as a good human being, as a good Muslim, to just walk past and not even ask, do you need some help? You traveling on the middle of the road and there's someone, Muslim or non-Muslim, someone's just there struggling something. Nowadays, you know, okay, they just come out and they put their car on the side, down the cell phone, they'll call the whatever, whatever. So people are taken care of. But I'm saying genuine situation, somebody's struggling, someone at the airport, you're traveling. So as a believing man or woman, if we have this genuine concern, man, we will not be able to move away unless we are able to, unless we ask that person. Is everything okay? Do you need some help? This is a sign of a believer. Sign of a believer. Someone with luggage struggling, an elderly person struggling. A young person, a good young Muslim believing man or a woman is someone will say, no, give me your bags, I'll give it to me. I'll help you, I'll assist you. This is part and parcel of our teachings of Deen and Islam. Really important. Some communities, these things are overlooked. I'm sure it's not here, but in UK we find this, that sometimes people just don't have concern. Neighbors, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. By Allah, you're not a believer, you're not a believer, you're not a believer. Who, O Messenger of Allah? The one whose neighbor is hungry. Man bata shab'an wa jaruhu ja'i'. The one who spends the night full stomach and his neighbor is hungry. Asking neighbors. This humanitarian concern is not about, it's not just about, sorry, not just about, it's very important, it's not just about the world's distressed and all these people in poverty-stricken lands. It's about that, and we have so many talks, and alhamdulillah, may Allah reward all of you and us. We give a lot in charity and give to all the different places in different parts of the world, and may Allah continue to give you the ability to give more and more. There's never enough. But never forget genuine situations of help and assistance. People working with you. There's another hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith of al-Bukhari that there was a person in the times before you. There was a person in the times before you that what happened with him was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Reason being is when he كان سمحا إذا باع وسمحا إذا اشترى وسمحا إذا اقتضى. Allah loves this quality attribute of samaha, of samh, which is gentleness. Rifq, إن الله رفيق يحب الرفق في الأمر كله. Allah is gentle. He loves gentleness in everything. Nothing has gentleness except it is adorned. And nothing has harshness except it is made ugly. If rifq is found in something, illa shanahu. And it's not found in something, illa zanahu. Man yuhramu rifq, yuhramu al-khayra kulla. Another hadith. Whoever is deprived from gentleness, he is deprived from all good. Allah loves this quality. This was the quality of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even with his enemies. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It was because of his gentleness that his people were pulled towards Islam. So this gentleness, this hadith of Bukhari says that there was a person before you, Allah forgave him. All his sins were forgiven. Why? سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ سَمْحًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى سَمْحًا إِذَا اقْتَضَى. That this person, when he used to buy, he used to be very, very, very gentle, very compassionate, very gentle, very cordial, very courteous in the way he used to buy. When he buys, he's not an aggressive businessman. He is a gentle businessman. He's not an aggressive person when he's buying. When he buys something, he asks the person, okay, what's the price? This is the price. Maybe once or twice, maybe, you know, like normal bargaining negotiations, no problem. Can you put it a bit less, this, that? But then he doesn't go to the like fight, no, yeah, put it down, and this, and that, you, and this. He doesn't do that. Samhan, okay, this is, I can pay, no problem, move away. You want to buy, you want to... Samhan idha ba'a. Ba'a is, sorry, selling. Samhan idha ba'a. So when he's selling something, you say, this is my price. If somebody asks, lower it, maybe he might lower it a bit if it's possible for him. If he can't, then say nicely, look, I can't lower it. Maybe some other time I might be able to lower the price. Samhan idha ba'a. This is the meaning of samhan idha ba'a. Samhan idha ishtara. When he's purchasing something, he doesn't go and haggle like crazy. No. You have to put it down. No, this, that. No, he is gentle. A Muslim believing man and woman, the way they buy and sell, you can see that this is a Muslim businessman. This is a Muslim person who's buying and selling. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they spread Islam not with sword, as we know, and neither even with da'wah. In some parts of the world, you know how Islam spread in subcontinent. Many people are from India and Pakistan and subcontinent lands. Read the history. You know how Islam came into parts of India? Some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they came as businessmen. And when they were doing business, some of the tabi'un as well, when they were doing business, these are documented incidents, that customers would come. One of many became Muslims because of one person who had a shop. He had a shop here, the other person had a shop there, and a customer would come and say, can I buy this of you? He said, yes, but go to that shop. He's selling the same item, same price. He said, well, why don't you give it to me? He said, just go, you know. But he kept on asking, sell me. If you've got the same item, same price, why are you telling me to go to that person? He said, well, me and my brother, both of us, we came together in the morning. I saw him coming at the same time. We opened our shops together. And since morning, I've sat here and I've already had 3 customers. And I've seen my brother, he's had no customers. So I want my brother to also get profit, just like I get profit. Please go to him. People saw this and they became Muslims. Is this how Muslims are? They have not unrivaled, they don't have unhealthy rivalry, because rizq is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Samhan idha ba'a, samhan idha ishtara. And then the last one, samhan idha qtada, when he demands his right. Someone owes you money, debt, even in there, Allah forgave the person who was gentle. Look, you have to have a stand. If people are not paying you on time, that doesn't mean, no, that's it. No, you have to have a stand. You have to. But it's just the way a person talks, a way a person deals, a way a person converses and interacts. Samhan, samaha. This is what we call samaha, rifq. This is all part of having concern for humanity. And humanity, I'm coming to an end, doesn't just include human beings. It includes every creation of Allah. Like we said, Allah loves His creation. So Allah wants us to be compassionate, merciful, gentle, kind, considerate to the whole of creation. Animals as well. That's why we have some animal rights activists, and rightly so. Islam places a lot of importance on not harming animals. This is also part of concern for humanity, concern for the creation of Allah. That's a topic on its own, because Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, some of the hadith you read, that he was so agitated, he was so upset when he would see somebody harming an animal. So many hadith of Bukhari, and one person sitting on an animal, mule, horse, and kept on sitting and put so much luggage. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam got upset, he got angry. In one hadith, someone took one of the animals, and the mother of the animal was coming and spreading the wings and distressed, and he got upset about that. There's just so many hadith. He even said, "Inna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay. Idha qataltum fa ahsinu al-qitla wa idha dhabhtum fa ahsinu dhabha." Even when you slaughter, Islam allows slaughtering, but even that, there's rules. More than this dhabiha, halal issue, sometimes we forget. That's just one aspect. When we say we want halal food, there's a difference between halal and tayyib. Halal is okay, the laws are, is it dhabiha, this and that. That's of course, we need to eat halal. But there's a step beyond that. Step beyond that. That's what you call pure food. You call tayyib. What does that mean? That means everything and anything related to the animal from the beginning, from before slaughter, what was the chicken grazing on, what it was eating. Organic is good, but what it was eating, from everything to how you, if you slaughter one animal in front of another, it's permissible, but this is what you call having, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could never do that. He could, and if you've seen, honestly, many years ago, I used to work with some organization, and we visited so many slaughterhouses and so many different places in England and in France and elsewhere. If you've seen that a chicken slaughtered in front of another chicken, you just see the other chicken's faces, and they are terrified. Like, you can see in their face. Like, if you have a heart, how can I cut this chicken's throat in front of another chicken? It's like, it's difficult for some human beings to do that. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, don't sharpen your knife in front of the animal. حَلَّا حَدَّدْتَهَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. He said to a sahabi, why didn't you sharpen it beforehand? أَتُرِيدُ أَن تُمِيتَهَا مَوْتَاتٍ أَوْ مَوْتَتَيْن. You're giving it two deaths. It's already dead before. It's looking at your knife. It's already dead. Back in places like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, people don't take care of these kind of rules. Just slaughter every animal in front of, and pull the animal, and drag the animal, and kick the animal. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you'll be questioned about this on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are laws. We need a whole course on the laws of animal treatment. There are laws in Islam, how you treat and deal with animals. So many laws. SubhanAllah, this is a topic on its own. We can't drag animals. We can't give them undue hardship and pain more than needed. Slaughtering, that's why one of the etiquettes of slaughtering is sharpen the knife as much as possible so that slaughter is as quick and slick as possible. Just quick. So that you save the animal from undue pain. If you have pests at home, you might have mice at home. There's rules that you can kill animals. Animals can be killed if there's any benefit for the human being. So like slaughtering is because it's for human benefit. If it's other than eating benefit, or if it's to ward off harm, also permissible. You have a poisonous snake, you can kill. So you can kill animals because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed that. But in all situations when you're allowed to kill, you have to minimize pain as much as possible. So if you're trying to kill a mouse at your house because it's eating all our biscuits and crisps and whatever at home and making all these holes everywhere, not permissible. But you have to, as a Muslim, use a method that is the most efficient, the quickest. Like you can't give it slow death. In England, in the UK, we used to have these, animal, like there was a glue, sticky glue, I don't know. I felt that was not right because the mouse comes and gets stuck, and then until the morning, the mouse goes, gee, 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 like it's like waiting for 6 hours of painful, slow death. Like waiting that I know after 6 hours when these guys wake up, they will come and kill me. 6 hours of torture. I don't know, I'm not giving a fatwa, it's haram, but with a good heart, it's difficult to do something like that. Even on animals, there's another hadith, and I will end with this, I just remembered. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in a hadith of Bukhari, in one narration it's mentioned it was a man, in another narration it's mentioned it's a woman. That there was a woman in one narration the woman was a prostitute. You must have heard of this hadith. Imagine, she was walking, she saw kalbun yalhath, a dog gasping for water because of thirst. يَأْكُلُ الثُّرَى, like licking the wet sand. مِنَ الْعَطَشِ. So she looked at this dog and said, this dog is thirsty just like I am thirsty. فَمَلَأَ كَفَّهُ. In one riwayah, خُفَّهُ. She went inside, she took a sock off, and in the khuf, she put it in the water. And because she had to climb up using her two hands, so she put the khuf in her mouth, between her teeth, and she climbed up and came and gave the water to the dog. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. Literal translation is Allah thanked her. Shukr. But that's not the translation we do, because Allah doesn't need to thank anyone. The proper correct translation would be Allah appreciated her deed, and because of which she was forgiven. Imagine a woman who was involved in sin all her life, for one act of taking her leather sock off and putting water and giving it to a dog, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her sins. So to summarize and sum up, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to create this concern in our heart for the whole of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for anything else, not for showing off. Remember, it has to be with ikhlas. Not to show off, otherwise there's no reward. Not to be considered to be a very, very generous person in the community. We live in a time where name really matters, of course. But it's really for the sake of Allah. Not because I would be known as a very humanitarian person or a very considerate person. It's only for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, for the rewards in the akhirah, for the love of Allah that we have. Sometimes you spend with your right hand and your left hand doesn't know. That's the greatest form of charity. We see all the rewards in the next life. Doing things for others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody should know. I know, you know, and our Lord knows, inshallah. May Allah reward us, reward all of us. Jazakallah khair for listening to me, and forgive me if I said anything. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيك.